Very much indeed, Lisa, and good morning, everybody. Thank you. And it's a real pleasure to be with you today and to see such a good attendance. I have it on good authority that there was a significant waiting list, which I think says something about Big Assist and the interest in Big Assist, but also something about infrastructure and our continuing commitment to building a strong and lasting infrastructure provision that can support this great movement of ours. As Lisa said in the introduction, since the merger between Volunteering England and NCVO at the turn of the year, I've taken on a new role which encompasses support for infrastructure, both volunteering and voluntary and community sector. And so it's a really good opportunity for me to be here with you today to hear about some of the issues and challenges that are facing you, and crucially, the role that you think NCVO can play in supporting you. We're just about, as NCVO, to embark on a consultation with our members and stakeholders on the priorities for the newly merged organisation. And I have no doubt at all that support for infrastructure will emerge as a key theme. And it'll be really good over the next few months to hear from you about where you think we should be putting our efforts over the next few years to support you. Over the past decade or so, we've seen significant investment in infrastructure. You could say that we are at the end of what was perhaps a golden age of voluntary sector funding. The coalition government has sent a clear message to national infrastructure organisations, significantly scaling down its strategic partner programme and tapering strategic grants to zero by 2014, while local infrastructure continues to bear the brunt of cuts in local authority funding, with Milton Keynes Volunteer Centre just the latest, and I fear by no means the last in a growing list of organisations to go under. Infrastructure has become a much maligned concept in recent times and is fighting for recognition and acceptance. And yet I believe it is as vital as ever if we are to fulfil our ambitions for the sector and for society. We are clearly not making our case strongly enough. And looking back at the golden age, I think if we are honest, we would accept that as infrastructure bodies, we didn't do enough to demonstrate our value and prepare for the less rosy times that were bound to come. It is stating the obvious that we have tough challenges ahead, both convincing government and funders of our worth, but also in adapting to the fast-moving environment around us if we are to retain our relevance and influence and our role in strengthening and providing voice and leadership in the sector. I believe passionately that it can be done, but that we need to rise to the challenge. And this morning I want to make 6 points which go to the heart of this challenge we face, and I hope to offer one or two ways forward. First, the tyranny of language. If we are brutally honest, the language we have used in the past to describe the work we do hasn't always helped. Infrastructure is not the most compelling of terms, summoning up, as Kevin Curley once memorably said, people digging up roads or laying railway tracks, rather than providing essential advice and support to the sector. Second or third tier organisations, I think, is little better. And advice and support goes only so far in that it describes only half of the function of infrastructure, which is as much about providing representation and leadership as it is about building capabilities and skills. So challenge number one is to come up with some more compelling language, which emphasises the crucial and, I think, symbiotic relationship between frontline activity and the sorts of activities provided by what we currently refer to as infrastructure groups. Second, we need more up-to-date and robust research on the value of infrastructure. NCVO's own Big Lottery-funded project of that name helped develop a common framework and language for infrastructure, as well as ways to capture, share, and demonstrate its value. Building on this and finding new and better ways of showcasing the true value of infrastructure in unlocking and supporting a vibrant voluntary movement seems to me to be essential if we are to persuade our sceptical policymakers that we are not simply an unnecessary layer of fat which needs to be trimmed in austere times. NCVO's almanac, as I'm sure most of you are aware, has been widely used to